Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Janie and I thank you for being with us today in our conversation about waiting. In a world where busyness is praised and encouraged, waiting seems like we're being lazy and unproductive. In a world where waiting means that someone is in front of you in line or hindering you from completing a project, it strikes us negatively when we are asked to wait. But waiting on the Lord gives us benefits that are very positive. So join in the conversation as we find how blessed are those who wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But Janie, waiting goes against every natural instinct we have, but it is exactly what we need to bring the fullness of a life in Christ.
Well, and Sharon, I'm looking at that passage and a couple of verses ahead of your verse 31 gives a qualification for the people that are waiting and benefiting from the waiting on the Lord. And he says that he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength, and the youth shall faint and not be weary. But my word, Sharon, to be able to claim the benefits of waiting on the Lord, how many of us say that we want to develop a life of weakness and a life that has no might? But that corresponds with what Jeremiah says. The Lord tells Jeremiah that as a young boy, he has been given a message that he's going to have the words of the Lord put into his mouth to root up, tear down, so that we can build and plant. Right. And Sharon, I did a little bit of study on Jeremiah this week. And do you know when the Lord called him with this calling, Jeremiah, I am giving you this power, this message for the nations, that he was approximately 17 years old?
No way. I didn't know that.
Well, neither did I until I did a little bit of research. And again, I haven't verified that with Snoops or anybody. But I did verify it with some people who are much more knowledgeable theologians. And I thought, what an awesome responsibility that our teenagers of today, where the Lord is desiring to give them the same calling for their generation, that is being trained and called in this generation, and the battles, Sharon, that they must go through, because it's harder than swimming upstream as a salmon wanting to return home.
I mean, think about the cultural lies that they have been trained in from the beginning of their life. I mean, the lies that they are facing every day, a secular humanism, the lies of identity, of who they are. I mean, those lies that are being taught to them and encouraged in them, man, they've got a battle on their hands.
And stop and think that as they battle these things, where do they spend a lot of their time? They spend it with their peers, some of who they think are their friends, which are more of their acquaintances than true friends. But nevertheless, they gravitate to them. Why? Because they have an inward need for family relations. Mm-hmm. And teenagers many times form their own little family cliques within their peer groups.
Right.
And not that they're not loving their own families. It's just that there is a closeness by the amount of time that they spend together.
Right. Yes.
And when you have that family need, and then with the pressure of being loyal to where you're being drawn, I hope that every parent listening to this today will not take for granted the joy that they have in having children, nor neglect their being prayer warriors for their children.
Right.
They'll never realize how many things they may be helping their children prevent as they stand in the gap for their kids. And many parents are too busy to stand in the gap, and that's the tragedy.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So now we go back to the parents' generation and say, what has to happen to the parents to wait on the Lord?
I mean, everything that we want is right here in the waiting. It's so encouraging, this verse, that our strength is renewed, that we can mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We shall walk and not faint. And waiting just goes, it's just completely flip-flopped from what we think we should be doing.
And we're really, I've talked to some precious people who are really perturbed with the Lord that He is waiting. Do you remember Palm Sunday? They thought He was going to come take care of all their problems and set up His kingship. And a week later, He's hanging on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the disillusionment of having waited on Him and then Him to implement a game plan via the cross that was not anything that they thought would be beneficial in waiting on.
Right, right.
So see if we can practically apply some of the benefits, Sharon, of just what happens when we wait on God?
Well, I think that God teaches spiritual lessons. There are so many spiritual lessons to learn in the waiting. And I take that back to cancer for myself, because I was so physically weak that there was really nothing I could do except to wait.
Well, now, Sharon, let's just camp out for that just a second, and I don't ask you to necessarily give us your biography on your year or two of cancer, but you had to have fears that you didn't even know that you had when you looked at your life being maybe taken in a matter of weeks to months, and you lived with that insecurity. So for somebody that may be walking those same waters today, can you just say in a few words where you found your greatest comfort as you were going through your greatest fears?
I found my comfort in the Lord, in the quietness and stillness of just listening to Him and being with Him through fears and pain and weakness and helplessness and hopelessness. It was Him that sustained me.
Were you able to get into the Scriptures?
Yeah, that's all I could do. I mean,
okay.
I mean, that's what I chose to do. I mean, there were other things that I could do. I mean, I could sit and watch TV all day.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
I mean, I could sit and do crossword puzzle.
Okay.
I could sit and scour social media. I mean,
right.
I could sit and read a fiction book or
feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of things that I could do sitting in my recliner.
So when you were in the shock of something that could have been fatal to you, are you telling me that there was still a little spark of life in your heart that was drawing you in spite of all of the external circumstances?
Janie, when I found out I had cancer, I knew there was nothing that could be done. I couldn't go back in time and remove the cancer. This was something I was going to have to go through.
Okay.
Whether that was going through it with chemo, going through it by some other means, I had to go through cancer.
And you knew that that may ultimately result in death.
Yes. So when I found out I had cancer and I knew I had to go through it, I made a choice.
Good. Okay.
And that choice was, on the backside of this, whether it takes my life or doesn't take my life, I want to know what I can do to grow and learn and mature through this process. So I made that choice. In that choice, ultimately, there were decisions along the way, where I spent my time, where I allowed my mind to go, what I allowed my emotions to take me through. And so in those choices, those spiritual lessons came along.
Well, Sharon, what I hear you saying that you chose to implement was you chose to engage your will in your impossible situation. And so for today, as we're talking about waiting on the Lord, let's give a lot of scripture that someone may cling to and be directed so that they're not directed to social media or some escape pattern mm-hmm. because the pain is so great. So you told me that you put your whole will into seeing how you were to get through the problem. So you really weren't looking at giving up. You knew there was a battle and you didn't have control over the outcome, but you had to engage in a battle. And in Psalms 57:7, it says, "My heart is steadfast, O Lord. My heart is steadfast." He repeats it. "I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory." And you know, Sharon, there is a little course that you've made known for your whole life, but I have found even recently as an old person that I have gone back and just started singing, and I can't sing on key, so I will spare you my my personal solo. But I have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Mm-hmm. Must have learned that when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And then the peace that passes understanding, mm-hmm. and the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus.
Right.
And then there was always one little verse that we threw in because it was fun. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack.
I have never heard that.
Oh, you've never heard that one?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was... That
we sing that song every day on the way to school.
Well, Mike, that's a way of saying for a child or a young person, the enemy is not going to have control. He can sit on attack and create his own pain.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. So I just want us to be very, very practical, because if people are really in heart pain, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, praise and joy has really stronger medical results for the body, as well as mental and emotional in healing.
Mm-hmm.
But it begins in a point of praise. And the last thing we want to do is praise when we are so in the dumps. So we're going to give counter that may seem uncomfortable to implement. But you're a living testimony that said, when I did do that, the Lord benefited me because you were obeying him.
You know, Janie, Isaiah 28:16 says, "The one who trusts in the Lord will never be in a hurry." And when we're in a hurry, we have a difficult time hearing God's voice. And so if we could stop and wait and be quiet, it gives us an opportunity to be strengthened in our faith. Because we learn to trust God more. We hear his voice. We understand what he's saying to us. There's a quietness and a confidence that goes along with having that peace.
Another thing, Sharon, as I'm diagnosing your words,
oh.
All right, is that your head, your thinking, had to be consecrated in a secret determination.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let's just read 51:10, Psalms 51:10.
Okay.
And in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Your head is setting towards a source that you believe by faith was going to pull you through the unknowns.
Right.
And the first thing is that the psalmist says, "Now, create in me a clean heart. Create in me an honest heart, Lord.
Yeah.
Don't let me be deceived into thinking one thing when another thing is actually truth, because I'm listening to the enemy in my discouragement."
Right, right. And discouragement is one of Satan's greatest used tools. He will try to discourage us, to keep us from waiting on God and learning to trust him more. And that's why we can't allow him to discourage us as we go through adversity. You know, I wanted to learn lessons along the way that as I went through the process of the physical pain, the physical adversity, that God would speak to me in the helplessness and the hopelessness of my situation.
So what I want to say to you that you probably don't realize you've just said is that you were allowing to keep hope alive via the Holy Spirit that lived within you. You knew the fears. You knew the unknowns that you didn't know.
Right.
You knew that there were no guarantees. But in your head determination and in your will, the heart was actually strengthened to help fight the battles.
Right.
And even though knowing you in your ex-cancer days, you probably would not have slowed down for 6 hours if you had been given the option.
Well, I'm telling you, it goes against our natural instincts. I mean, we just feel like that we should be busy doing. And if we're not doing something, then we're lazy, we're useless, we've wasted time. And that is so not true.
Well, we say we've wasted time, but we are wasting what's important to us in
busyness.
Yes. And so what we've done, if we want to say it in a one-liner, society as well as America and her prosperity has taught us to major on the minors and minor on the majors.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of why we are now in the current situation where we are. And again, we can be talking to ourselves today in the fact that we may have a terminal illness in this society and there may be no hope of recovery, but Jesus Christ is still our hope. Yeah. And even though the scriptures are not popular to most people, they are the medicine of life.
Well, and 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
Sharon, my heart is really drawn to about 4 scriptures so that we can unbusy ourselves and follow the admonition that's given to us in Peter. And the first one is Isaiah 30, verse 18. And it says, "Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." Now, if for no other reason, if we had no other verse to tell us about waiting, God sets the example on why we need to unbusy ourselves and wait, because that's what he does. And his waiting is that he might be gracious to us. When we are so busy, we become insensitive. And we will ignore given opportunities that are laid at our doorstep.
Oh, that's so good, Jamie.
But we won't see it. And then he says that he, God Almighty, will be exalted. And why does he want to be exalted and recognized as who he is? So that he can give us his mercy without us hindering the acceptance and recognizing the mercy. Sharon, do you realize that when we breathe air every day, when we look at the blue sky and see the beautiful combination against the green foliage, and we see the many beautiful different colors, that it speaks to our body, it speaks to our senses, and it's one way that he brings healing. And Sharon, it's all free. There's no charge to look at a crab tree flowering or a red bud, or to see the graciousness of the roaring waters as it triples down from a waterfall, or to look up into the sky and realize that the blueness brings a tranquility to our brains. It's all free to the one that knows him. The one that doesn't know him will one day pay with the judgment of the Lord, because they won't be able to enjoy the new heavens and the earth forever, because they won't be a part of it.
Well, Jenny, I think we stay so busy that we don't hear or know what God's voice sounds like. And there is so much that He offers us that we don't get to partake in because we're so busy running that we won't let Him hold us in His hand.
And His word that even we might read in a morning devotional, we will then have it robbed from our brain if we don't have the waiting and the quietness. So let me take you to another passage in Isaiah 30. Okay. And this is in verse 15. He tells us, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." And are we all not needing more inner strength and more energy?
Mm-hmm.
And then here is the sadness to that verse. "But you would not."
Mm.
And then the next verse says, "No, you said, no, we're going to flee on horses and go back to Egypt and go back to the ways of the world for our strength." That's death. Now, one other verse, Psalms 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God."
Right.
"You won't understand me, but you will know me."
Right.
"In that stillness."
And even though we don't understand, we know Him. So there's that relationship that we have with Him so that we trust Him. And the Lord has promised in Isaiah 41, verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you."
Sharon, we started with this verse, and I think it is bears just repeating. "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." And how? "They shall mount up with wings of like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that is, once again, waiting on the Lord, we renew our strength. And it's that we can mount up like with wings of eagles, and we shall run and not be weary. And you know what, Sharon? Being able to joyfully just do one thing, finish it, be quiet, wait, pick up another thing, do it, be quiet, wait, pick up another thing, because they just keep coming to you and coming to you. But this says that you can run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. But the condition is taking time to wait and what we're being called to do.
Yeah. And I think that's the key that we're missing, is the waiting. We're not waiting on the Lord. We're getting anxious, I think. And doesn't it say in, is it Philippians, where it talks about not to be anxious for anything?
"But in everything by prayer, lay your burdens at the cross, and He will lift us up."
Right. And so then we have that confidence in the Lord, that quiet confidence that we were talking about, that He will be there in no matter what situation that we're in, that when we stop and wait on Him in the adversity, in the situations, in whatever persecutions we may be facing, that we can trust the Lord in everything.
Yes. Sharon, I'm going to do something, and I've not even asked you about this. So if you want to reject the appeal, that's fine. But you know, we don't ever ask for money because God has blessed us with funds to be able to broadcast. But if this series that we do is blessing you, we do have a book that is a compilation of many, many, many different authors on waiting on God. And for the first 10 people that would want to respond to us through our website, we will send them a free copy, and we aren't asking for your credit card to pay for the shipping. We're going to pay for the shipping.
Okay.
You just kind of say, "This is ministering to me, and I want to know more about waiting on God." The first 10 people that respond, we will send you a free copy, no expense.
That sounds good, Janie. No rejection here. You can respond at SharonHearts.org. That's SHARIN Hearts.org. And that's all the time we have for today.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.